Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:22, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 5th. And today the majority of markets were down a bit, but not a great deal. So nothing dynamic happening in the markets in terms of the broad indices. But there's been a lot of let me put it this way. When I get a lot of email on a certain subject, it generally means that it's hitting a chord with investors. And certainly, judging by the number of reports that have been crossing my desk, certainly the negative interest rate environment that we have in Japan and Europe in particular, where there is in excess of $1.5 trillion in bonds that are in negative yields right now, I've had a number of reports hitting my desk, and some of them have been relating to the debt markets, some relating to high yield, and some relating to gold. So then let's just think about each asset class in terms of how all of that fits together. We remain within a corrective environment on Wall Street, and the majority of Wall Street finished in negative territory today, but not in a dynamic fashion. So the Dow Jones now is sitting just about on 2050, and that is a bit of a psychological level, and it's also a give or take around where the progression of higher reaction lows from the January nadir rests. So a move below that would really open the door to additional spikes in volatility and an additional pullback and test of underlying trading. When we look at the VIX index, it hasn't really risen yet, but it is at pretty low levels, and it wouldn't take much for it to go up from here. Then when we look at the commodities sector, I will be posting a rather bearish report on gold, saying that it is not at bargain basement levels, that it is expensive relative to other assets when you look at it on long-term metrics. And I think the aim of the report was really to dispel the contention that is increasingly popular among gold bugs that we're at the beginning or the dawn of a new secular bull market in gold. And I think that that is premature, but at the same time, it is what we're presented with in terms of the price action, and the fact that we do have this negative interest rate environment is that gold as an asset that cannot simply be printed into existence and which doesn't have a yield is therefore looking really quite competitive in an environment where the supply of bonds just seems to accelerate higher and the yields are negative. And just by having no yield at all, it's actually competitive in a negative yield environment. So those are generally positive. And the fact that ETF holdings of gold moved to a new recovery high in here today suggests that, or at least bolsters the argument that gold is under accumulation. So gold prices were a little bit lower today, but only by $2. And this continues to look like a consolidation of the breakout to new highs that we saw last week. And overall, the range that's been in evidence for the last almost 3 months doesn't look like anything other than a first step above a type 2 bottom. And really, you would need to see a sustained move below the trend mean to really question potential for additional medium-term upside. So it continues to look like the beginning of a medium-term move in gold, but that needn't necessarily mean that it is the beginning of a secular move in gold. But in either scenario, of those scenarios at least, it suggests that we are going to see higher prices. And it is worth also considering that if gold is expensive relative to the other precious metals like silver and platinum, then you could say that it is expensive relative to silver or platinum, but the other way of looking at any ratio is to say that silver and platinum are cheap relative to gold. So, you know, every ratio can be looked at in either of two circumstances, because it's a relationship, not an absolute variable, or an absolute value, sorry. And both silver and platinum now represent high beta plays on gold, as do gold shares. So as long as gold is you know, easing back here, well, that represents a headwind for high beta investments. But for example, silver was a little bit firmer today. It was up about 6 cents, and its reaction to date has been relatively modest, particularly relative to just how fast it had moved higher. Now, when we look at the bond market in terms of the negative interest rate environment, then you know, if you look at MBA programs and how do they teach corporate finance, well, it's very simple. And it is when interest rates are very low, you buy back shares and you increase your dividend, you borrow to do so. Because the weighted average cost of capital is heavily in favor of that. And it isn't just an opinion, it isn't a decision, but it's rather a cause and effect type of environment for from a managing a corporate balance sheet perspective. So with interest rates still very low and in fact negative in Europe and Japan, then companies will continue to buy back their shares. They will continue to borrow, and they will continue to increase their debt load relative to equity or relative to their book value, because they would be foolish not to, considering that they're getting money for practically nothing. But that doesn't mean that the situation is sustainable into the long term. One of the things that I write about and wrote about in Crowd Money, and point out at the chart seminar, is that a key characteristic of all crowds is that they're tolerant of contradiction. And it is a contradiction that you can continue to increase the supply of debt without ever having to worry about credit risk. And then we know what the contradiction is in the market. We might sound like the boy who cried wolf, continuing to talk about the bond market as a risk when it is really the subject of a momentum move. But that would be remiss if we were to just simply ignore a developing risk, because when the bond market eventually does turn, and the negative interest rates on their own are unlikely to be the catalyst, but the realization among central banks, and it's a potential realization rather than a sure realization, but the potential realization among central banks that negative interest rates do not bolster economic growth, and the reversal of that policy could indeed be a catalyst to drive interest rates higher. Now, then that would raise the specter of the default rate rising. And there is a great deal of government and corporate paper that needs to be rolled through, rolled over between now and 2020. So then the potential for a problem to develop in the debt markets in the next 3 years is non-trivial. And until it actually starts to happen, it's going to be considered totally non-trivial by the majority of market participants. But it isn't our job to bolt the door after the horse is bolted. Rather, we need to be looking at things before they run amok. And that means that we have to try and identify what the risks are. And this is a clear and substantial risk, both to the bond markets and also to the equity markets, because the corporations have been just loading up on debt, and anything that inhibits their ability to refinance that debt at attractive levels is going to be problematic. Now, the junk bond index and that spider, Barclays high yield index, has got about $12 billion in assets. Well, it trended lower just about all of 2015 and bounced with the oil price, regardless of the fact that there's only about 10% of the ETF is invested in energy. It bears really quite a high degree of commonality with energy prices. So it rallied in much the same way as oil did and closed its overextension relative to the trend mean. But it's now facing redemptions, and now it having done the easy part of the rally, now it looks increasingly like we're going to see at least some consolidation of what, in fairness, has been a very impressive rally. And that's also likely to contribute to the corrective phase overall. Now, the euro and the yen are both are ruled by central banks that are implementing negative interest rates. So despite the fact that they have been really quite strong of late, then there's the potential here that we are going to see additional dollar strength because the dollar has been so weak. And with a move into a more risk-off or corrective phase, then what we would see, or would expect to see at least, is that some of the trades that worked very well in the first quarter will not work as well in the second quarter. So there is the potential here that we're going to get additional strength in the US dollar. And the euro today was down about 84 ticks. It's down now to $1.14, just about even, which is over 2 cents down off its highs from the end of last week. And the yen was a little bit weaker in here, but not a great deal today. And the pound was relatively unchanged, having pulled back very sharply at the beginning of this week. And in the commodity currencies, both the Australian dollar and the Canadian dollar were pretty much unchanged in here today. But considering how large the dynamics have been against those currencies, then the chances are that we are in for additional weakness there, as potentially as oil prices begin to consolidate. And it is interesting in the oil market today that oil was up by over $2, up to $46 on WTI today, and is closing out the day closer to 44. That it was unable to hold its move. And despite the fact that you have a fairly large amount of supply getting knocked out of the market in Canada, and that, you know, that's unlikely to come back at least this week. So this is still at least a pause for oil prices. And just like we saw with the high yield bond fund, oil's rally has had the easy part. It's had the reversion to the mean, and additional upside from here becomes a little bit more difficult. But we will not have evidence that the what has been a powerful rally so far has really run out of steam until we see a reaction of more than $6, because it's had, particularly when you look at Brent has had three reactions of between $5 and $6, and you would need to see a reaction greater than that to really indicate that supply is getting back into the upper hand. And I think with that I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.